Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. Now, with evolving consumer habits since emergency measures for COVID-19 were introduced in March this year, the majority of brands have taken a step back in the crisis period for fear of appearing tone-deaf. But brands have the opportunity to become pillars of stability in an unstable world by offering realness and intimacy to consumers, by understanding what consumers want and why today, and what they're likely to want tomorrow. To get his insights, we're joined by Matthew Crabb, who is Director of Trends at Mintel Asia Pacific. Thanks for joining us today, Matthew.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking about consumer expectations. Have they changed in this short period of time? Well, relatively short period of time.
Yes, they have. I think, well, it's interesting. Yeah, you have a big event like this, a crisis, and it puts things into stark relief. I think change is constant anyway. It's just usually we don't notice it until we sort of look back into the past. And of course, we all have our sort of personal triumphs and tribulations, which bring about changes in our personal lives. But this is on a completely different scale. And I think the important thing there is people have noticed the change in their lifestyles. And they've had this opportunity to sort of pause and look at what their values are, what's really important to them. And consider that a bit more. So not only has the situation changed, people's behavior changed, but their mindset has changed. They've been able to reflect on what's important to them, what they really want out of their lives, how they want to live their lives, and so on. So that's been a really significant shift. I don't think we're yet really seeing the kind of outcome yet. It's still a very changeable situation. We are already seeing certain changes in shifts in values, people's priorities have changed, but that'll be an ongoing shift.
There's this concept that you're putting out that brands have to move away from what you're calling formality, ritual, and authority. And I'm thinking of it as this didactic way of telling you, my product is great, please buy it, please buy it, to a more human and focus on politeness and empathy. But I feel that that's always been the case, or that change has been coming, where the most successful advertisements, if you will, are the ones that touch some kind of human emotion. So instead of saying, my pizza's great, my pizza's great, I can get my pizza to you in 20 minutes or less to fit your busy lifestyle, for example.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you've touched on something that continues from what I was already saying about, you know, that you've had this shift in perceptions. And I think, again, you know, this shift in values. One of the things that's happened for many people during the lockdown, MCO, whatever you want to call it, is they've been working from home. So whereas your connection with people you work with, your clients, your customers and so on, tended to be on a very sort of formal basis. Now, because we've been working from home, we've been able to see into each other's homes. And that changes the dynamic of those kind of relationships. And informality becomes part of that. And I think it's interesting also that people have shifted their perception of space, you know, space and time. So they don't necessarily need everything right away. They don't need to be able to get everything. They have been able to think, okay, what's really important for me to buy and what can I do without? People have started decluttering from, you know, because they spent so much time at home. They're looking at their home space in different ways and thinking, how can I live better there?
It's so messy.
Yeah.
Clean it up.
You know, does this really reflect who I am? Is this the kind of space I want to live in? What are the products I really want to buy? Do I need to have them right away? And what we're starting to see is this shift more towards quality, not just of the products, but quality of the experience around the products, the quality of the relationship with the brands, the companies that you give your money to, and the expectation, not just in terms of quality of products, but ethics of the companies that you buy from. What's their role in the community? What, you know, are they just selling into my community, or actually they a positive part of my community? And we've seen this around around the world, really. People looking to companies to step in and help out and be part of their communities in a positive way, not just profiteering from selling stuff to them. So that shift, that mental shift, has been significant.
And that's been significant in terms of whether or not I get your product. If you're not a company I see that's helping out in the community, especially during this time, I may not want your product. Is that what's happening?
Yes, I think again, it's...
Even if your product were cheaper, let's say, than a competitor, right?
Absolutely. I think, you know, people are weighing up, do I really need to get something fast and cheap, or do I want to sort of take my time, research a bit, find the best quality product that's going to last longer and give me the most benefits? Things have slowed down a bit. People are being more contemplative in terms of how they decide what they want to buy. So again, you know, brands really need to understand that shift. So they need to be able to build engagement with consumers over a longer period, have those kind of discussions that build up to trust, the kind of engagement where people feel that they can come to brands and say, give me advice. Because, I mean, in many ways, I mean, you look at, for example, the retail industry. Retail industry without that customer service is just logistics, really. So the brand of retailers is their customer service, their ability to provide expertise, advice, guidance. And this is what will become much more important rather than just the quick sell.
What other insights, Matthew, have you discovered with regard to consumer behavior through this time?
Almost obviously, I suppose, well-being has become a much more important thing to consumers. We've seen a rise in people's thinking about and study into things like nutrition, mental health. In terms of value, yes, I think what we're going to see is a shift immediately with the, you know, economic situation. People are going to be budgeting, thinking about tightening their belts. But that's not necessarily, again, about just buying cheaper products. It's looking for better quality products, getting more bang for their buck. People's use of technology has shifted monumentally. You think about how we're all working from home, using new technologies to do video conferencing, so on and so forth. And that's not just people who are already using computers, but these we've seen around the region, people in older generations learning how to use technology, learning how to use online shopping, social media, commerce, so on and so forth. So that's been significant. That's, again, you know, a new tool, a new perspective for people. And in terms of people's perceptions of their surroundings, you know, people have been, as I said before, stuck at home, and then they suddenly realize what their physical surroundings are at home, and, you know, what they like and don't like about it anymore, what they think needs changing. But also in the wider environment, we've seen all the stories about animals, wildlife coming back into cities, and that joy that people have found in the sound of bird song that they haven't heard for yeah, years or whatever, that again shifts people's perceptions of what a city is like, what their neighborhood should be like, what their living circumstances should be like. They enjoyed the fact that things were slowed down, that they were given more time. And I think that's going to be difficult to take away.
Also feels a bit opportunistic then to say use animals, cute animals, say in your branding campaign at this point. But it would work, wouldn't it?
It works to some degree. I think, you know, there's plenty of that, though. You can go on Facebook and look up cute kittens and whatever to your heart's content. There's plenty of that. I think people are looking for something a bit deeper than that.
What exactly, though, might they be looking for in the way the brand engages with, say, using cute animal motifs?
I think this is, again, you know, this is part of the ongoing change that we're seeing. It's difficult to pinpoint one thing. I think what we're seeing is that people have had time to reflect, so they're probably thinking more about what really is important to them as individuals. That makes it harder perhaps for brands, because then you're talking about rather than tribes, you're talking about individuals. There's a lot more individuals than there are tribes, if you like. And that's an interesting question, because I think now we're going to have to start seeing that that engagement, that communication between brands and individuals on a much more granular level. That's going to be hard work. That's going to be difficult to do. But also, that doesn't necessarily mean that the broader public messages can't also work. So you're going to have to start thinking as marketers on working at different levels. So yes, you still have your national, regional, local campaigns, but at the same time, you need to be able to engage with customers, consumers on an individual level and be able to understand that.
Matthew, what sorts of platforms would work the best? Because interestingly, we spoke with Click, which is a business intelligence analytics company, which released findings of their survey, which also said that a lot of Generation Z, which we think are the digital natives, are the digital natives and engaged readily with digital and social media, online platforms, etc., becoming wary of the data coming out of their devices, coming out of online.
Absolutely. I think one of the key things that we've seen amongst the drivers that we measure is the rise in protection as a key theme. Now, protection is not just about safety, protection from the virus or protection from accidents. It's also data protection. And I think along with that use of technologies for more different aspects of people's lives comes a realization that increased use basically creates more opportunity for people to feed in fake news, to spam you, to scam you. I mean, the number of scams that we've seen coming out over the last few weeks, as people have started using new technologies, that exposes them to risk. So again, I think, you know, perhaps the younger generations are the ones who are latching onto this more quickly than others, that, you know, with a greater exposure to more different new technologies and medias comes a greater exposure to those kind of risks.
This will be a long-term thing, you think? Of course, we don't know. We can't look into a crystal ball and say, oh, you know what, COVID-19 is going to disappear by the end of the year, and then my branding marketing campaign can change.
I think things have changed
on a fundamental level?
From a fundamental level. And I think going forward, I think we're going to have to assume that things have changed. We can't say, oh, things are going to go back to the way they were. It's been too great a change for that. Again, predicting what the future is going to be is very difficult to say, because we're only still just coming out of this situation. For me, the fundamental is looking at how people behave, understanding how people behave and how they're reacting to the situations that they're put in. And from that, being able to sort of forecast what their likely behaviours are going to be in the future. And that's what we at Mintel are trying constantly to do. And, you know, measuring that in a controlled way so that we can look at the kind of shifts from one driver to the next, one pillar to the next. What it is that is really driving people's behaviour at any given time. And we can start to see shifts in that in different age groups, different markets and so on. And that really helps us get a better understanding of what's likely to be coming next.
What about for smaller businesses, though, which might not have the deep pockets of larger companies to be able to come up with that sort of targeted branding campaign for their products? Utilize some of the insights that Mintel has. And
In many ways, yes. So not having the deep pockets can be seen as a hindrance to smaller companies, absolutely. But at the same time, smaller companies tend to be more nimble and quicker to adapt. And I think that is, in times like this, can be the real advantage, because with shifting times, changing times, the ability to adapt quickly, which is the real advantage. And I think in many ways, that's true for both large and small businesses. In order to sort of really survive any kind of crisis, any kind of change, you've got to have the ability to adapt and innovate. And you can only adapt and innovate if you have good information about how your market is changing, how your consumer base is changing. And of course, as a market research company, Mintel will say the only way you get out of a crisis is to research your way out of a crisis. But I think there's some element of truth to that. I think for smaller companies, again, it's understanding your market, understanding the benefits of your product, and being able to communicate that successfully, knowing that, you know, what it is that you're selling, what the benefit you're selling is actually needed by consumers. Once you can make that equation work, then it should be just a matter of how you then broadcast that to the most effect.
Matthew Crabb, who's Director of Trends at Mintel Asia Pacific. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us today, and please stay safe, sir.
Thank you, Harry, and you too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app, available on Google Play or the App Store.